We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Welcome into another The Denver Sports Podcast. I'm Harrison Nguyen, joined by two guests today. I got my guy, Dwayne Brown, the art director of All City and DNVR.
That is correct.
Art director. I didn't know if it was art director or like creative director or what the exact title was.
No, that's D-Line's creative director.
D-Line's creative
director. That's like the upper echelon.
Oh, wow.
Where you get to make T-shirts.
Oh,
you're not at that level?
I just make all the other things.
Wow. I'd let you make a T-shirt.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I make T-shirts.
I thought you didn't.
Just not for DMV.
Oh, okay.
So,
if you were to make one T-shirt for DNVR, what T-shirt would you make?
Ooh, that's a great question. It's got to be.
You've got to have some ideas. Personally,
it's got to be Rapids, right? I mean, we don't have any. We don't have any.
Might be a great shirt, but a tough sell.
That's what people are clamoring for. Rapids and Rockies.
I mean, Rapid season is kicking off.
That reminds me, I've got to cancel my MLS watch account.
MLS season pass.
That's what it's called. Yes,
cancel it.
Well, because I got it because I was like, okay, I've never watched an MLS game. Rocky season's gonna start, or Rapid season's gonna start. I gotta like check it out. And then what? They were down like 3-0 in the first 12 minutes with an own goal in there.
It was not a great first game.
Yeah, and so then I was like, no, maybe next year.
That's Henry Chisholm, yeah. Broncos reporter.
That's true. Yes,
and
Rapids hater,
anti Rapids guy.
Not anti, just gonna wait it out before I buy it.
We got a lot of good stuff to go over on today's TDSP. Broncos are getting new uniforms. I'm terrified about how they look. I'm really scared the new regime is going to mess up the Broncos tradition in that respect. So we'll talk about that. Excited to get Dwayne's take on that. Caitlin Clark versus Colorado. That's happening this weekend for the second straight year. And also, I saw an article that Denver has the best pizza in the country, according to one source. But I want to start with a conversation we were having upstairs. I'm not going to say who brought it up, who started the conversation. Somebody in this office thinks that a quarterback that is too hot cannot win a Super Bowl. What do you guys think about that? Can you be too hot to win a Super Bowl?
No. I mean, that's stupid. But it is a fun conversation.
And the reason we were talking about it is because we were trying to decide if J.J. McCarthy, who it sounds like the Broncos are going to trade up for in the draft. That's the rumor. Didn't hear it from me. They're going to mortgage their future for J.J. McCarthy. Is too hot. Is he hot? Is he not? Can you bring up a picture of J.J. McCarthy, Alyssa?
Yeah. So we were having a big debate upstairs about this.
I think this was a big debate. I think he's hot.
He's a good looking guy upstairs.
And I can't say he's a bad looking guy, but I think that it's important. You almost have to grade on a scale with professional athletes because I think a lot of his appeal is just that he's in good shape. You know, like if you saw him, you'd be like, oh, he looks good. What if he was just built like an average person? It wasn't just like a ripped up type guy.
But
you
that's
know?
Not. the case. That's not the circumstance. You got to take the circumstances as they are.
Right, but in that case, like,
be handsome.
So of all the NFL players, like, 70% of them are probably hot just because they're in such good shape. No? Okay.
No,
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
I think J.J. McCarthy's a good-looking guy.
But is he too hot to take the Broncos to the promised land?
I don't agree with this premise that you can be too hot. Like, I just don't think
the premise starts with, so Tom Brady did it, but that's kind of, I mean, it's not real. Like, if you look back to what he looked like before he got all the work done, before he got himself into shape, he's not, like, an especially good-looking guy. Outside of him, it is true that it isn't the most attractive group of guys that's gone on to win Super Bowls.
A lot of people think Tom Brady's really hot. Tom Brady's always just kind of looked weird to me. He's got a weird look to him. And I know he's obviously gotten a lot of work done. Like, those cheekbones are crazy.
They are crazy.
But, I mean, he's a good-looking guy. I don't think he's, like, anything to go wild about.
But, again, like, if you saw him in person, he walks in here, he's 6'5" with a smile like that. Like, it's the same thing with, like, all celebrities where you just wind up grading him on a curve. And it's a lot of it's just because they're in good shape, like, whatever. And so that's where, like, is he hotter than just about every guy? Yeah. It's Tom Brady.
We're getting some Joe Flacco love in the comments.
Speaking of quarterbacks in this draft, though, what about Drake May? Is Drake May hot?
So there's like this...
Because he kind of looks weird to me.
There's like a 0.5% chance that we have this conversation and the Broncos draft Drake May and Drake May finds out we had this conversation and brings it up.
Yeah.
And so I'm just a little bit nervous, but I'll come out and say I don't think he's attractive. Like, I think that there's a lot of Justin Herbert there.
He looks like Southern frat dude. That's who exactly. Drake May looks like.
Which isn't my type.
Southern frat guy sipping on, like, whiskey.
J.J. McCarthy's just more than frat guy.
Bourbon, if you're going south.
Bourbon, yeah.
They do like that down there.
Yeah.
He's no J.J. McCarthy. Let's be honest, Fez.
That's what I'm saying.
That is true.
Yeah, J.J. You think he looks similar to J.J. McCarthy?
I mean, it's healthy, muscular, white guys have those, like, cut-up faces. And I don't know. The angles just get to be a bit much.
Is there anybody else in this draft?
It's Caleb Williams, not particularly hot. I mean, good-looking guy for the in-shape reasons, but nothing special.
Yeah, I don't think Caleb Williams is at the J.J. McCarthy level.
Jaden Daniels, a little bit skinny.
He's in the J.J. McCarthy tier, I think, Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. Jaden Daniels, I wouldn't say, like, especially attractive.
I feel like I don't really know what Jaden Daniels looks like.
Can we pull that one up?
Jaden Daniels,
LSU. He's got, like, the goatee mustache thing going. It's not, like, he's not a bad-looking guy by any means. But
I feel like I've never seen him without a helmet on.
Yeah.
Yeah, normal-looking quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say nothing special.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I still got J.J. McCarthy.
I also have, like,
one.
18-year-old J.J. McCarthy, or Jaden Daniels in my mind, which
that's a little crazy.
Exactly.
That's a little specific. That's a little specific, Hank.
Because that's when he showed up.
If he comes to the Broncos and brings this up, you actually might have a problem with that.
I'm a big Jaden Daniels fan. Actually, so I listened to a lot of Kendrick Lamar, big week with all the beef with Drake. I remember Jaden Daniels was, like, my favorite quarterback when I first started covering Colorado back in 2019.
Yeah.
I went to his, like, booth, Pac-12 Media Day, and somebody was like, what do you listen to before games? He was like, oh, all Kendrick. And I was like, okay, I like this guy
even
more.
You're bumping
now.
Him up a little more on your draft board.
In going back through J.J. McCarthy, he's posted pictures of Kendrick Lamar to his Instagram.
Okay.
And so now I'm kind of, like, sneaky in on more of these quarterbacks.
This guy knows rap.
Exactly. Which is kind of a thing that I like. And I think that's something I value.
What's your favorite Kendrick Lamar song?
But is it hot?
Favorite Kendrick Lamar song? That's a good one. Oh, you could get weird. Because, like, you could go back to, like, the Control verse, like, back in, like, 2012. That was crazy. But then if you want to go, like, real song, like, Count Me Out's, like, a good one, you know.
Count Me? What's that? Count Me Out?
That might have been the theme song for the NBA playoffs last year, actually. No, that was.
If you're a Kendrick guy, I thought you'd go old Kendrick.
No, see, well, and that's what I was saying. I went super old first, but then I tried to pander. Like, Control, like, they had to unrelease the saw him because of like the clearance issues, but that was the one where he just basically like called out every rapper.
Yeah, I remember.
And that was like the start of the Drake beef because Drake was the one guy who was like, "Oh, bro, you can't be doing this." And so it's gone on for like a decade.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody asked me that question, I'd say Money Trees. That's my favorite Kendrick Lamar song.
That is maybe his best live song, would be my thought.
I've seen him live.
Yeah. I went twice on this last tour.
I didn't know you were this Kendrick Lamar. Oh, yeah.
No, this is like number one on my list.
I feel like I learned something new about him.
I know. He likes 18-year-old Jaden McDaniels, and he's a Kendrick Lamar
fan. He's very specific about his Jaden McDaniels.
Okay, Jaden Daniels. Let's just clean that part up.
See?
Yeah, but no, I do think...
He's offended already. You
said Jaden McDaniels.
That's Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, he's hot.
And how did he do in the Super Bowl?
He lost.
Yes. So, I mean, and this was not me that made this case, and I don't stand by it.
Yeah, I don't agree with the premise either. I do not think you can be too hot to win a Super Bowl.
But when basically the only hot quarterback to win a Super Bowl is Tom Brady, and that was...
And there's a question of if he's hot or handsome or what.
He's enhanced himself, for sure. Like, that's not natural.
He's enhanced-summed.
He's enhanced-summed. Yes, that'd be the name of my plastic surgery business. And handsomed. Okay. Nick Foles? No.
Welcome to the show, folks.
Nick Foles? No. I feel like he's not hot at all.
Like, maybe particularly not hot.
Yeah. But he did win a Super Bowl.
Exactly. But he doesn't break the rule. Right. Aaron Rodgers not hot.
No. Guys, the Broncos are getting new uniforms. And this, I feel like, has been the second biggest offseason topic after
it really is.
What's happening with Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And there's a couple things we know about them that the Broncos have come out and said. The color scheme is staying the same.
Yep.
Same colors. Navy, orange are staying the same. Same logo as well.
Yep.
Primary logo staying the same. But the uniform will be a, quote, full redesign.
Yep.
It's the first significant overhaul the Broncos look since 1997, when they came out with pretty much these uniforms. I'll go to you first on this, Dwayne. I'm, like, terrified they're going to mess this up because I feel like the Broncos have kind of an iconic NFL uniform, mm-hmm. and usually I feel like teams with those iconic uniforms don't change them up much. Are you excited? Are you nervous for this? How are you feeling?
I'm excited for a uniform redesign.
Yeah.
I actually don't like the Broncos uniform. I don't like the curvy, pointy lines on the legs. It's a strange look. It's a very, when it was designed, late 90s look.
Right.
So I'm excited for a redesign. I'm fine with the colors. Orange and blue, complementary colors. It makes all the sense in the world, color theory-wise. Yeah. I mean, people are going to choose on the logo. A lot of people like the old school D logo. Mm-hmm. People like the new logo.
And a lot of people want the old school D back.
I love the old school D. It just, the horse needs to change because that's not a horse in that old one. Well, I mean, it's supposed to be. It has the essence of horse.
Old school D Broncos logo.
It's not a great horse. It could be updated. They're keeping the new one. That's fine. As long as when you get the sticker, folks, put the point facing down. When you drive around Denver, there's so many horse heads that are staring up that makes it look like a decapitated horse.
We call them the drowning horses.
Yes, the drowning horses. Like they're drowning. Yes. Yes, exactly.
So this is not a horse.
I mean, it's a horse, but that is the strangest horse.
You know, it looks kind of like the horse at the airport.
No, how dare you? How dare you?
Similar
smear
position?
Lucifer no? like that. It's okay. Those weird, brittle little legs.
The legs do look really small.
And the strange mouth. I mean, it's a horse, but it's a strange horse. Just update the horse.
Okay.
Anyway, whatever. The part that worries me the most is the comments of there will be nods to the Broncos' geographic standpoint.
Yes.
This is the most worrisome piece for me.
I agree.
Because I feel if you slap mountains on this thing, like, that's the most touristy thing to do. And I feel like if you're from Denver, if you're from Colorado, you're not going to keep putting that on every little thing ever in the state of Colorado. It's like, we get it. We have the mountains. It's
this is
thing.
Like how the Nuggets, maybe not the Nuggets, but the NBA has been obsessed with correlating 52-80 with the Nuggets in Denver. Yeah.
It's not necessary to put mountains on something if it's from Colorado. Yeah. We get it already. So I'm a little nervous about that. Maybe they do it well. Maybe it's not mountains. I don't know. Some ideas that I think what it could be. it could be topographic lines.
I was going to say, have you seen the topography? There's a lot of hot rumors about this.
That's kind of a hot thing right now.
The Broncos Twitter account changed their photo header to this one, and it has like topographic lines.
And that might be the way around. I can live with that more than just big clunky mountains somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine if it's a subtle pattern. But that's the only part that really worries me. Outside of that, I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, I don't know who wouldn't be excited to see a new uniform. You know, it's fun.
I'm more scared.
I mean, it's fun to be scared, but you can be scared and excited for it at the same time.
I have really low expectations. I have a lot of thoughts.
I have low expectations, too. Don't get me wrong.
I could probably talk for an hour about this.
Please,
go ahead. We have an hour
show. I'm going to hit the timer.
Oh, perfect. There we go. So let's see. Starting with keeping the same color, same logo.
Yes.
So if you change your colors or your logo, it's a 2-year process with the NFL instead of a 1-year process.
Correct.
If that's why they decided to keep the same colors and logo, I hate it. Like if you want to change something, if you want to make it better, take the time that it takes to do it. Now, if it just happens to be a coincidence that those are the two things you have to keep the same if you want to do this in just 1 year, if that's just a coincidence, it's fine.
Do you guys like the current Broncos logo? Like this logo?
I do not, but I'm not sure. That's like could be a different conversation.
To me, that's the Broncos logo. You know, like your logo is your logo. Yeah. Like I don't like the Avs logo. I think that's a bad logo, but it's also the Avs logo, so I would never push to change it. You know, like it is what it is. And so that's kind of how I feel there. I think the D logo I like a lot more. And I would have gone with that. I would have changed the colors to the lighter blue. Maybe not as light as it was before. Like I would love to see the different options.
Kind of a royal blue.
But I prefer the royal to the navy. I think a lot of people prefer the throwback uniforms. I think that you could have made a throwback uniform that people would have just loved. Mm. However, the rumor is that that's going to be an alternate uniform that they have.
I did see that, yeah.
So they'll have like the alternate throwback, probably with a lighter blue helmet, the royal blue helmet with the throwback. And if that's the uniform that everybody likes, you don't need to make it an alternate. Like you don't need to make that a treat. You can just have the best uniform be your uniform. And so if the idea was people really like this, it's the classic, it's the look, it's what everybody wants, let's use it as an alternate. Why not just make that the uniform and have everybody love your uniform? So that's...
I agree.
That's kind of where I'm at there. On top of that... so they put out the survey, and they basically followed the results of the survey. It was 75...
Are we sure about that?
Basically. So 75% of the people said they wanted new uniforms, about the same
that's
amount.
That's terrifying to
exactly.
me also.
They wanted to keep the same logo. They wanted to keep the same colors. Those were by like 55% or something like that. And so it's like, so narrowly we voted for same logo. Narrowly we voted for that. Don't let us make the decisions. You guys are the ones who are supposed to have the good ideas. I don't work for some design company. Well, Dwayne's a designer. Most Broncos fans have no idea what they're talking about. You're the expert.
Right.
And so I do worry that this is all just kind of pandering to what people want. And that seems like a terrible idea.
To put you at rest, as someone who's designed uniforms for pro teams, like, I guarantee you that survey does not, it's not leading the charge on this redesign.
I hope not. But they've proudly said,
however,
we did what the people wanted right, when it came to these things.
I would think what you do is you publicly announce that you actually do survey 10,000 people.
Yeah.
You publicly announce that and then you go like, okay, what are we actually doing?
Yeah.
I hope so.
And then you use marketing talk to say, you wanted the original blue and orange, so that's why we kept it.
Yeah.
That may not they might have just kept it anyway, mm-hmm. but they're going to use that for marketing.
I also think the best uniforms in the NFL are the uniforms that haven't changed in like 50 years. They're the uniforms that teams have kept for forever. They're the iconic looks.
The
like
Cowboys, the Steelers.
Yep. I think the Packers. 49ers, I think the Chiefs look good.
The Packers.
Steelers are great. The Steelers are great. Yeah. And right now, nobody would put like, there's like four different lines in the pants. Like those are, that's all like too cluttered nowadays. It's like, it's not clean enough. But it's the look and it looks really good. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, first of all, this is a different conversation, but if the Broncos had just kept the same orange uniforms that they had up until now and just, you know, you refresh them a little bit, you make them fit like how they fit on the pads now. I think that right now you could still have like maybe the best look in the NFL with those orange uniforms. I think if you brought them back, you'd be in that conversation too, but you interrupted that history. And so now you are where you are and you need to figure out where to go forward.
You can go. The Bills did it and their uniforms are much better than they were in the late 90s through the early 2000s.
Absolutely. I think when you introduce new uniforms, the plan for those uniforms has to be for those to be your uniforms for the rest of your franchise's history. You bring in your new uniform, you say 200 years from now, if the NFL still exists, this is what we're wearing. We're wearing this exact same uniform because that's the identity. I mean, that's the Packers uniform, the Steelers, those teams we named. You should be going for that look to not be changed. And so when I hear things like topographic lines, like that seems like a very
trendy.
Yeah. It's like 2024 sounds good.
Yeah. It's like the Packers would never do that.
Exactly. And so maybe that's a look that sticks for forever, but I'm concerned about that. Yeah. At the same time though, the Broncos do have a history of, for example, those 1997 uniforms. UniWatch calls them the most radical uniform in NFL history. By the way that they broke the mold. Like the side stripes, the blue, like it was totally different than what an NFL uniform was up until that point.
Yeah, 1997.
Sure. Exactly. And they definitely have like a 90s look now that like it isn't great, but it was revolutionary at the time.
Sure.
People saw it and were like, holy cow. I mean, the logo, all that sort of stuff. I hope that they don't just go too plain here either. Like I don't want them to come out and just look like, oh, this just looks like what every high school team wears now. You know, like, which is kind of funny because so many high school teams actually stole that look, those side stripes. Like, it feels like a third of the high schools across the country has that. Mm-hmm. So it's just tough to toe that line between like forward thinking and also simple enough that you can make it work for, in theory, a century. And I just think that that's tough. And I think the final piece to me is that Nike is designing them, and Nike has turned terrible at designing uniforms. I think that when you look across what they've done, the NFL, I think you look at what they've done with the NBA.
Oh, God.
I think
the NBA
is
bad.
Oh, my God.
Man. And this goes beyond, like, I don't think this is a Broncos issue. I kind of trust this ownership group to, you know, play to the history, look to the future, try to create a timeless look. But at the same time, when it's half them, half Nike, Nike's terrible at this. And I'm a Nike guy. Like, I'm wearing Nike shoes. I'm wearing Nike shorts. My underwear Nike. I won't show you those. Socks, Nike. I love Nike. It's all I wear.
Apparently, yeah.
In terms of making uniforms, designing uniforms, they're fucking terrible. They're terrible.
They've turned terrible. I agree. I want to keep talking about this. We got to hit a break, though, and tell you guys about Bet365. If you sign up with code DNVR365, you're going to get access to a couple cool offers. You can do a bet and get offer. Place a bet of $5 or more on an NBA game. You can bet Nuggets Suns tonight. I take the Nuggets. Place a bet of $5, get $150 in bonus bets. You can also do a first bet safety net offer. Place a bet up to $1,000. If your qualifying bet loses, you get a match refund in bonus bets as well. Check out Bet365. You can download it on the QR code there on the screen. Just download the app wherever you download apps. Make sure you use the code DNVR365 at sign up. Gives you access to those offers. And if you're in Denver, if you're in Colorado, you can get access to other Denver-specific boosts as well. Must be 21 plus and physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Also, shout out to Breckenridge Brewery, the presenting sponsor of the Denver Sports Podcast. If you don't know where to get Breck Brew, check out their beer locator online. Breckbrew.com. Just type in your zip code. Shows you where to get Breckenridge Brewery. Breck Brew is the official craft beer of DNVR. We got it at the bar here, corner Colfax and York. Breck Brew sold, you know, pretty much wherever they sell beer. Try out some of our favorites, the Avalanche Amber, Mile High City, Broncos Country Pale Ale. We love Breck Brew, the official craft beer of DNVR. All right, back here on the Denver Sports Podcast presented by Breck Brew. I want to ask Dwayne.
Scooby-Doo sound.
Well, I was trying to close my phone, but... What was that? Well, I didn't actually see what the video was. Oh, and it's Twitter, so I'm refreshed. I'll never know. It looked like it was a football video. Probably something hilarious. God.
Nike guy. Henry Chisholm.
I love Nike.
Yeah, we know.
They're terrible at designing uniforms.
See, now I'm actually out on Nike now because... you mentioned the uniform thing. I feel like their shoes have fallen off as well. But also, none of the Nuggets starting five reps Nike anymore for their shoes.
I know. And I've just been waiting for the Joker shoes to come out. Yeah. Like the, not AG1, the 361. Yes. Yeah. Which is owned by AG, part owned by AG or whatever.
He's one of their athletes, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, but the thing is, I used to buy, like, I have a pair of Kobe's. I have, like, a pair of some of those. I hate just about every player who doesn't play for the Nuggets so much that I just can't buy any Nike shoes because they're all named after somebody, which sucks.
Yeah.
Because I want to walk around. It's like, oh, I like your Greek freak, whatever. It's like, oh, kind of, that guy can't shoot.
Jokic, Aaron Gordon, and now KCP all rep 361.
They've got some good shoes.
Yeah.
They're not great, but, I mean, they've got some good ones.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay. And then Jamal Murray's with New Balance and Michael Porter's Puma. Mm.
Great.
Bringing Puma back.
Somebody asked
him. I want to ask you, Dwayne, though, like, what would you do if you were redesigning these uniforms? I don't need, like, specifics, but what would be your general vision?
I mean, I'm kind of with Hank with the color. I like that lighter blue, that royal blue.
Yeah.
I don't think the navy blue looks bad at all. I just, it's a nostalgic thing, you know? So I do like that royal blue. That would be fun to see. And maybe we do see it on that alt jersey. I like traditional. You know, it's Hank was saying that, you know, I don't want it to be plain.
Yeah.
But all of the ones that you described as the perfect ones are pretty plain.
They pretty much are.
I feel like NFL, and you even have that in the NBA a little bit, like the Lakers and Celtics.
Yeah.
Before Nike started messing up everything.
Sure. You know? I mean, there's something, you know, the longevity, if your goal really is that longevity thing, you want, you know, 200 years from now for that to be your uniform, your jersey, then it probably needs to be fairly plain. Because everything else is trend.
Yep.
Trends don't last, and you start to have something that looks very outdated. And I think that's why this is a great time to do that redesign, you know, because it does look 30 years old, you know, now. And so, but I do like that color. You know, for me, I kind of like those color rush, the orange color rush for the Broncos. I like giant stripes on sleeves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just those big, ridiculous, thick stripes on the sleeves. They don't look very fast, you know, so it's like if you're trying to get a fast look, that's not the way to go. But I do like that look. So maybe we see that a little bit of that brought in from those color rush that come in, I think would be cool. But those, I have a very traditional aesthetic when it comes to uniform design. Not that I don't have appreciation for college football and all of the wacky stuff that Oregon and Nike do.
Right.
Because it's fun to look at, but you notice that they don't use those over and over because they're so trendy. So if you're looking for something with staying power, it's got to be a little more traditional, a little more simple, unless you're looking to redesign again 5 years from now.
I also did see that the team will have multiple helmets available.
Yeah.
And so
is that my article you have pulled up? Better be.
Yeah, it's from your article.
Okay, good. Okay, yeah. Good.
VDNVR.com. Henry wrote a whole article about what we know about the Broncos uniforms.
I believe it's three
That's
jerseys.
Where I'm getting all this.
A couple. Okay, good. I'm just making sure you're not at some other website.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do think.
We would never, Hank.
Better not. I sent Alyssa what I would do if it was up to me. again, it's just the throwbacks. And I know, to me, when I hear like potentially like the mountains on the sleeves, like the 5280, all that's that sounds like a great alternate jersey to me.
Like that sounds like a great t-shirt.
If there are mountains on this uniform, that will be embarrassing.
I think there's a way to do it well.
I'm not even allowing myself to think about 5280 because they can't be stupid enough to do that.
We'll see how it goes. But that's why like something like that as an alternate would make sense. I think to wear like once or twice a year, you want to get like kind of weird, new with it. That's a good time. But for your day in, day out uniforms, go back to what you had because what you had was really good. And I think that's a good rule for just about every team because I think you look across the NFL and you say, what's their best uniform? Oh, Eagles, it was the Kelly Green back in the day. Like Dolphins, it was what they were wearing back in the day. Like for almost every team in the league, it's like that is somewhere 70s, 80s, 90s. They had the best uniform of all time or of their time. And so you might as well just keep it going. Like be yourself because you have an identity. You brought up the Celtics and the Lakers. Again, those are uniforms that they will never change for as long as they exist for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And when you make a uniform, that should be the goal. And Nike doesn't make uniforms that last. They also just generally don't make good uniforms, but even when they have like their rare hit, it's like, oh yeah, this is good. It'll be gone in 10 years.
And that's fine if they get all the money from it. Then they'll make a new one.
Oh, that's the goal. Do we think that's a big reason this is happening this year is because they know they're going to be terrible?
This year has been on the...
And this is just something
I think it's coincidental, but it's good timing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because, you know, the Broncos are struggling right now, roster-wise. It's no secret to anybody. It's going to be a rough year. So it's a nice, happy coincidence that maybe they get some cool jerseys to sell out of it.
Yeah.
Or mini helmets because there's going to be so many colors.
Yeah, multiple helmets. Yeah, I think you're right. Probably more of a coincidence more than anything.
Yeah.
These things start years in advance.
Yep.
On these designs, you know.
Yep.
That is true.
This had been the plan since the new owners took over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. We should know in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, it should be soon. I think before the draft is the heavy, heavy favorite here, and probably a couple weeks before. Oh,
they probably have to do it before the draft.
You don't want to be putting out your new rookie quarterback that you just gave up 3 first-round picks
in
for.
In old jersey.
Here's a funny story. And so, there's... with the Nuggets... What?
I remember there was like a weird timing thing, right?
There was.
Yeah.
The Nuggets, the 2018 draft, yeah, I think
flags,
it was.
That's what it was, right?
The flags. Yes. The 2018 draft, the Nuggets were going through their rebrand or part of their rebrand. I forget what stage it was that summer. And they had the draft. Uniforms had still not come out yet. Or maybe they had released them or something, but you couldn't
there's
like
buy
them.
A manufacturing problem. Yeah.
Yeah. So at the post-draft press conference where they introduced Monte Morris. Mm-hmm. It was a terrible draft outside of Monte Morris. Tyler Lydon, one of the worst draft picks in Nuggets history, and Trey Lyles, who they got in a trade, who was up at the podium with them for some reason. Instead of them holding up jerseys of like their last name or like as you usually do at a press conference, they held up a Nuggets flag.
Well, I will say the rest of that jersey rollout was pretty cool. Because they had
the
like the
did
art
kill
gallery.
Their rebrand.
Yeah, you have it like the art gallery and everybody like you could like go through. They did another event somewhere else that was awesome also. Like, oh, it was the was it like the Milk Market was where they did the debut?
Yes.
Yeah. They did. That whole rollout that they did was good. And it was also the first time in my lifetime that the Nuggets got new uniforms. And there was some hesitation about like the home and the away. They're a little bland, like the new navy. Like those weren't great. But the Mile High City uniform was groundbreaking.
So yeah.
And the fact like to see that in person, because like you go to the arc out, it's like it's gonna be here this week, come through. And that was they did that really well.
Yeah. The Nuggets killed their rebrand.
Oh, it's all good. Yeah, that's the uniform that I would go with. It just looks so clean. Like, you put that on. It's so iconic, too. Like, you're not being mistaken for any other team. That's the Denver Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I like that one.
I was
like
trying
that
to find the
lot.
Picture of them holding up the flag. I couldn't do it. Can't find it. So yeah, we'll see about the Broncos. We should know in a couple weeks what they look like.
Yeah, there's no like I went in and actually looked at the draft caps that are coming out looking for some kind of hint. But nothing.
Yeah.
It's just the logo on a hat. It looks like they're all putting a state or a state flag on the side, but I cross-referenced other teams and every team's doing that. So, cause I was like, oh no, they're putting the Colorado flag on this New Jersey, but it looks like everybody's putting.
Yep. That's all part of the reason Nike's been so bad is they just mass produce things for every team. It's like those draft hats. Yeah. It's like, yes, it's a black hat with like whatever, and the logo, there's gonna be like an outline. It's a little askew, and there's a state logo, and it's the same thing with like it's all bad. It's all bad. They do a terrible job.
It's all money.
Well, I actually wonder in the NBA if like they're just out of ideas.
Yeah. Because
now they have to make a new uniform or multiple new uniforms every single year. Yeah. It's like, how many can you actually come up with?
I know. You can't. It's
and so eventually they're like, let's just put 5280 on the front of the jersey.
It's a bold choice.
5280.
I think they're just out of ideas.
Just put a Subaru on there and a big old joint.
Yeah.
Stereotype is like that.
I mean, you never know. Like, maybe.
That would actually kind of cool.
It'd sell.
It's like a joint that almost looks like it's coming out of a player's mouth. You get like the smoke up the shoulder or something. you never know. Oh my
God, you're hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to take another break and then we're going to talk about pizza on the other side. Because apparently Denver is the best pizza city in the country, according to one publication. Guys, it's a great time to become a DNVR diehard. You can become a diehard for $7 a month, and you get so many perks. First of all, you get a free T-shirt at sign-up, and you get a free T-shirt every single year. You can choose one from the DNVR locker. Tons of great options there. You also get bunch of other perks, discounts on all the events we do, the takeovers, the tailgates. You get a discount at the bar off your tab if you're local. You get access to the content on thednvr.com. That's for diehards only. Tons of roundtables across all other sports. So many great perks. You also get a physical diehard DNVR ID card and a really cool welcome package when you sign up too. Sign up, thednvr.com, $7 a month. If you're a real Denver sports fan, you're absolutely a DNVR diehard. And so, yeah, go to thednvr.com, sign up there. You can become a DNVR diehard today. All right, back here on the Denver Sports Podcast presented by Breck Brew. Guys, Denver, Colorado, I don't know if it's exactly known for its pizza, but according to Clever... which is a real estate company, Denver has the best pizza in the country.
It's the best pizza city.
Best pizza city in the country. Denver won. Buffalo 2.
Buffalo has good pizza.
Boston 3. Philadelphia 4. San Diego 5.
They probably have some like artisan San Diego weird
style
pizza.
Yeah.
Can you bring up the tweet, Alyssa? Yeah. Top U.S. cities for pizza: Denver 1, Buffalo 2, Boston 3, Philadelphia 4, San Diego 5. Is this on your Twitter? It was in the.
It's on Kales for sure.
It was in the rundown. I can drop it in there real quick though. Do we think Denver has good pizza? First of all, before we get into the
how the decision
the
was
nuts
made.
And bolts of this study, do we think Denver has good pizza?
I say yes. I think between Cosmos and Blue Pan, I could be happy, fulfilled pizza wise the rest of my life. I think that's where it starts. I think Cosmos is just like a great everyday pizza, you know, not to eat every day, but just as like your go to pizza. And Blue Pan is just like incredible, like honestly, like a tier above. Just about anything else.
The thing about Blue Pan, it's Detroit style.
It's true.
It's incredible.
It is very good. Yeah. It's not what I think of when I think of pizza, though.
But I think pizza needs to be well-rounded. Like, I think that's what hurts some of these other places is you think of, like, New York pizza, and you're just like, oh, it's just like a sloppy piece of pizza that's just like massive rolls up. Like
New York style slice is what is what most people think. Totally.
Yeah, and there's something to that. But I love Cosmos, and so I get my fill there. And I think that when you look at like Detroit pizza, I'm sure they have great Detroit style pizza. It's named after them for Pete's sake. But you have Blue Pan here. That's incredible. Like, that fills that need for me. And I don't know. There isn't a good, like, deep dish pizza place here that I found, at least. Like, I know.
Deep dish is like.
I love it. It's that might be my favorite kind of pizza.
But, overrated. Like, overrated.
It's so good. Again, it's not like an everyday pizza, but you get it once a year and it's incredible. Like, there's the Giordano's on 16th Street, which is cool, but that's like a chain, obviously. So that doesn't, like.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
Deep dish is like once or twice a year.
Exactly. Yeah. But it is really good. Like, it is enjoyable. I'm happy with the pizza here.
Blue Pan, like I said, good pizza. Very good. It's Detroit style, though. It's not what I think of when I want pizza. Like, if I'm just going for a slice of pizza.
Cosmos.
Where do you go?
Cosmos is good. Okay. You even have that. Have you been to that Ian's Pizza place across from
Coors? Yes, I used to live a block from there.
Yeah. So I'm not actually a huge fan of that place.
It's too heavy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I appreciate it. I think that that should factor into kind of our pizza scene is Ian's Pizza, which is something I appreciate. And whenever my friends come to town, they always want to go to Ian's. Like, that's always top of the list.
And I will say Cosmos is good.
Yeah.
It's not good compared to New York pizza, though.
Really? I was going to say, isn't it comparable to New York pizza?
Yeah.
Cosmos?
I mean, I don't know official quality, but the
great
setup
big giant. You're talking the great big giant Cosmo pizza.
So,
that is hard to hold. It's covered. It's saturated in grease.
Yeah.
Which is what you want in a New York.
Big sloppy when I think of pizza,
floppy.
It's like a large cheese pie. Like, that's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Triangle slices. Yeah. I like mine a little crispier than Cosmo's usually is. But
somebody wants to get me off the show. Oh, somebody else said please. Okay.
I grew up on Cosmo's pizza. I grew up on Cosmo
pizza. It's great
pizza. I think it's good. It's not New York pizza.
Lexi, let's see. Where was she? Oh, it was jury duty. So she was getting ready. It was like the Oregon trip at the end of the year. And we're like, okay, let's get pizza. Got Cosmos. She was having a bad day, so I got the massive one. Which, while she was gone for the entire 5 days, was basically all I ate.
You just got that for yourself, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so like she had like her one piece.
Not the stupidest thing you've done.
Yeah. Thank you. That's smart. Thank you. That's so smart. It is good pizza. And especially, we're probably not factoring in deals, but you get like the slice and a drink deal for like $6 or whatever on weekdays from 11 to 3, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great go-to pizza place. Elite go-to pizza place.
I wouldn't say elite.
I love it. I love it.
I feel like Dwayne knows it's good pizza.
Well, I mean, look at me. I'm not a guy who's going to turn down a lot of pizza. Mm. The pizza debate to me is always funny because as a very chubby guy, mm-hmm. I welcome all of the pizzas. I to hate on a pizza is the craziest take I can ever imagine. Like,
I
could never hate on a pizza. Like, I don't really care what it is. Frozen pizza from King Supers, I'll eat that shit. Yeah. Like, I don't care. Cook it up, man.
Really, really mess up a pizza.
Yeah.
Especially if you save some spicy ranch from Cosmos.
I'm just telling you. I mean, it's a weird debate.
Henry sounds like every kid in Boulder in high school and college.
So I didn't get here until after. So I've been here. I'm in year 5 here.
Hank has also lost every food draft I think he's ever done. So that's an important thing to remember.
That's fair.
But if you're ever in Aurora, where I live, and you want New York style, go to Lubo's.
Lubo's.
In Aurora.
Okay.
That's good New York style pizza. If you're in Telluride and you want Hank's Detroit style, then you go to Brown Dog Pizza.
Yeah.
That's very Detroit style.
Better than Blue Pan?
I think they're owned by the same. I want to say they're owned by the same group, but they're both very good. Again, man, I can't hate on any kind of pizza. I'm not sure. I don't think of pizza when I think of Denver.
No,
that is
absolutely
true.
Not.
And I think of pizza a lot. Okay, again, I think of pizza. I think about it all the time. I just usually don't think of Denver when I think of pizza.
Right.
So
Denver doesn't to me have a a food that you associate with it. People like to say green chili.
It's Colorado.
I've never really felt that. I mean, although we do have like good green chili sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah. I think so. This is a take that I actually wasn't going to share because it's a little embarrassing.
Well, it is a Hank food take. So.
I don't go to like the trendy restaurant. I don't need like the Instagram spots, you know.
You're a big Sbarro guy?
I don't think I've been to Sbarro.
Don't let Hank go to Sbarro. He's going to probably love it. Don't you think Hank would love it?
There's a chance.
Absolutely.
Happy Camper has pretty good pizza.
They do.
I want to hate it. Sure, they do. I want to hate it because it is what it is.
It's great for what it is.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's fun.
But you go get, like...
You're not atmosphere. Going there as like a pizza diehard.
Exactly. And I don't like those places. I kind of push back against the, let's go take a picture in front of the neon light. Like, you know, that's not really me. When I get dragged, the pizza there, every
pizza
time I
is
leave,
a fun food.
Fun
like, food. It's okay no. for your oh, yeah. pizza restaurant to be fun.
True.
You know, like, it's make it wacky. Like, no one's going to a pizza restaurant to go, yes, let me waft the pizza scent.
I don't go
to my, like, no one gives a shit. It's pizza. It's delicious.
Wait, what was the thing you were going to share? That was
I kind of like Happy Camper pizza.
Oh, that's not that.
Yeah, really? Again, that's not a crazy
I feel
take.
Like that's kind of just like, oh my God, Happy Camper pizza. Like, no, Happy Camper. It's not for the pizza.
The embarrassing take would be like it's absolute trash. Like that.
Really? Okay, so people are in on it.
I think people know it's like fine.
Yeah.
It's like, it's good.
And is also, like, Walter's 303, I used to live, like, a block from there.
I've never been there.
It's, I wouldn't call it, like, 10-10, like, you can't miss it. That margarita pizza, though, when you're just, like, it's, like, dinner time, you need a food, it's a great combination of, like, it's good, and it's pizza, like, it's still
That's
pizza.
That's a fancy man's pizza.
But it's not, like, terrible, like, you don't feel gross after eating it. Like, you can just go eat that whole thing, and you're just like, oh, that was a good meal. Like, I shout out to Walter's 303.
Yeah, I like sexy pizza.
Yeah,
sexy pizza's good.
K-Max and I just went to Cart Driver. It was pretty good.
Cart
Driver is good.
I've never been there.
Yeah.
Cart Driver is there. Good. Although it's like $25, like
it's
really
pricey.
Expensive, but it's good.
It is good.
Is there a neon light to take pictures in front of?
No,
but it is pretty hipster though. Does it have it's pretty hipster on the outside.
Yeah. Yeah, with Christmas lights around the edges.
Yeah,
yeah. That's not my spot. Those places aren't.
But
you're a Sbarro guy. You're gonna love it.
That's the kind of stuff that like ruined brunch for me. Because brunch, like, objectively the best food.
Brunch is ruined for you.
But whenever you go, it's like I feel like I need to, like, you know, brunch people, or like same thing with like charcuterie boards. A great food because it's just like all these great things put together.
Yeah.
But then like there's just like this culture around it that I can't be a part of. It's Happy Camper culture is what it is.
So, like, you're having a charcuterie board, you can't enjoy it because of the culture around it?
It just feels...
It's a little food snob.
It's a little cutesy for me. What it is.
That's cutesy.
Yeah.
What if I cut up tiny pieces of pizza and put it on a wooden block and said, this is
pizza
my
charcuterie
board?
Dude.
Is everybody going and wearing, like, look at my hat today?
See,
like,
I just fixed charcuterie boards.
But maybe that's just that Lunchable. Remember the pizza Lunchable?
I have a 9-year-old daughter. They still exist, and they suck.
So those like,
are still the same as when, like,
yeah, you
as
get like
15
one
years ago.
Yes, and you think that you're gonna like it because it's like you loved it as a kid.
Oh yeah,
but as an adult, you're not. Like a dumb little kid anymore.
Really?
They're terrible.
My parents
is it
never.
They're so
my
bad.
The sweetness of the sauce.
It's.
I feel like that's what we get.
There's no way.
There's everything about
there's
it.
There's no way it's good.
Even the Ritz cracker, like not even the pizza one. You get like the little ham sandwich one. My daughter didn't eat it, and so I was like, "Oh, I'll eat it." Even the crackers are bad. Really? Like everything about it.
Dude, my parents never let me have.
Just
Lunchables
don't go back and eat it. Like live
always
in the joy of
it.
Your youth. So, yeah. Just remember it for what
but
it used to be.
The pizza Lunchable was the creme de la creme.
Oh, yes,
absolutely.
If you
absolutely.
Had the
top
pizza
tier.
Lunchable
yeah.
in lunch, like you were a god.
Yeah. Yes. After school, I went to my
That's
parents' office.
That's upper echelon lunch.
And yeah. I just like, I'd have my little pizza Lunchable and I'd take forever like putting it all together and sprinkling the cheese and throw it in the microwave. And like, I was like a little chef.
Yeah. To get back to this survey real quick that ranked Denver as the best city. The terminology or the like the nuts and bolts of how they came to this are actually pretty interesting. So this was a study done this year, it looks like. The data team at Clever Real Estate analyzed a multitude of what they call mouth-watering metrics.
Sounds serious.
We ranked the 50 biggest metro areas in the U.S. using the following parameters for each city. Pizza reputation, based on a survey of 1,000 Americans. Rate of pizza restaurants per 100,000 residents. Mm-hmm. Pizza passion, based on local internet search activity for 34 pizza-related terms. Example, pizza near me. Average Yelp rating for a pizza restaurant. Average price of a large cheese pizza. Average price of a large pepperoni pizza.
Oh, wow.
Share of median annual income required to purchase one cheese pizza each week a year. Share of median annual income required to purchase one pepperoni pizza
each week per year. Fact, I think price is an important part of being Pizza Town USA.
But the most important thing.
My biggest takeaway from this is they're not really factoring in taste that much.
Only one of these is related to, is this pizza any good or not?
Yeah.
And that's the Yelp rating. It's just, how many pizza restaurants are there? Or how cold is it in Denver? Because I don't want to go outside, so I'm going to Google pizza near me.
Yeah. So my thing is, I love the pizza here. Like,
we know.
I am fulfilled by the pizza in Denver. I just can't speak to the pizza other places because, like, if I've had pizza somewhere else, even in that case, I've only had, like, one pizza place, you know? Like, I haven't tested out all the pizzas in all these different places to speak to the pizza scenes across the country.
Yeah.
All I know is if they say the pizza here is the best pizza, hey, I'm happy with the pizza here, so I can't argue.
But that's not what they're saying.
No, yeah, that's not what they're saying at all.
But just saying which cities are good to live in if you like pizza.
Yeah, they're also saying more.
How accessible is Colorado pizza?
Search pizza near me.
Which you would think if they had a pizza place they love, they wouldn't be searching.
Or maybe they don't, so they're just searching for one.
That's maybe not necessarily good.
If you search pizza near me, that might actually be a sign you don't have any good pizza.
Yeah.
Because you're searching for that's good a pizza good point. Near you.
Hey, if that's they're going to crown us pizza capital of the world, I'm not going to complain. Give me the crown.
You really made a big jump there, Hank. Greatest pizza in the world from... Good city to live in if you enjoy a pizza.
Also, if you're taking if you're taking into account average Yelp rating of pizza restaurants, that's incredibly flawed because, again, I think New York pizza probably in general is number one. People there are going to rate their pizza on a different scale than people in San Diego.
So true.
A 10 out of 10 to somebody in San Diego is gonna not be a 10 Hank's. Out of 10 in New York.
It's true.
San Diego is going to be Hank's margarita pizza.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
I bet it's pretty freaking good.
Buffalo Pizza has little tiny pepperonis, and they make little cups. They're like little cup pepperonis.
I think the edges get a little too burned. The pizza has those now,
you don't
right?
like the little burned edges on pepperoni?
No, it's
little crunchy pepperonis?
I prefer normal pepperoni.
I was just in New York, actually. I had Prince Street Pizza, which is the one with that made the tiny little pepperonis famous. Have you seen those? Phenomenal. That was like a 9 out of 10 slice.
Ooh, I also don't like the little chunks of pepperoni. Like sometimes there'll just be like little pepperoni cubes on the pizza.
Oh, like little...
Like a frozen pizza?
No, like school lunch, the rectangle pizza.
School lunch, frozen, yeah. See, that I'm against. If I'm eating pepperoni, I want a big pepperoni that I know that I'm
very
eating.
Glad you're against.
Not Costco-sized pepperoni, because those are messed up.
Hank is against fifth-grade lunch pizza, everyone.
What's a better pizza? Like a basic-ass, like, meat lovers, or like some specialty, like prosciutto, arugula?
No, that's bullshit pizza.
Yeah, I'm traditional. Yeah. So, traditional? Like, I'm like cheese or pepperoni, usually.
Pepperoni's my go-to.
Yeah, but I don't sausage, like to get that
sausage
crazy.
Sausage and green peppers.
I'll throw some sausage on.
No, when it gets fancy words like prosciutto and stuff. No, like
prosciutto.
Prosciutto. See, I can't even say it because it's bullshit. Like, I don't want that on my pizza.
Yeah.
Margarita. I totally agree.
See, no, but that's like a healthy pizza. That's a change up.
Nobody, if you're eating pizza to be healthy, you're not eating pizza anymore.
Sometimes.
Like, you've kind of slapped pizza in the face when you're making it healthy. That's not the point of pizza.
Do you guys want to know what the worst city for pizza is according to this survey?
Should we guess?
Oh, sure. Wow.
Nashville, Tennessee.
No, but very close.
Knoxville, Tennessee.
No, you're still close.
Memphis.
Yes.
Ah. There you go.
That was good.
Wow.
Memphis, Tennessee is the worst city for pizza. I know where I'm from. See, here's with just 3.5 pizza places per capita and low affordability of pizza based on the median annual income. Wow. Again, nothing to do with taste.
No.
Also in the chat, pineapple.
Here's
pizza
one for you, Dwayne. Buffalo, New York has 17.8 pizza restaurants per 100,000 residents, the highest rate of any city.
God bless them.
And more than double the
national
average.
Do you know how cold and miserable it is in Buffalo?
I've heard.
Pretty cold. Pretty
you just want to sit in and order a pizza.
I saw a video
on...
You gotta have a lot of pizza. What's the famous pizza place in Buffalo that, like, sponsors the Bills? Pretty sure. I saw a video.
I'm not sure.
I'm
not from Buffalo. I'm married into a Buffalo family, so...
Gotcha.
I'm from the Southeast, which is why...
You guessed.
I would guess. I was going to go to Nashville, but we're not great at pizza things down there.
Let's see what else this survey has. Pennsylvania, the best state for pizza, with Philadelphia and Pittsburgh ranking among the top 10 cities.
They seem like they'd like pizza.
Joe and Philly in the comments might
Pittsburgh
be able to back
in particular.
Pittsburgh's got a good food scene now.
Really?
It's a really up-and-coming like food city. Huh.
I'll still probably not go.
It's not for you. It would be like a happy camper type.
Yeah, see, I don't need
everything
that.
Would be Christmas lights. And.
Yeah, I don't need Christmas lights.
I do. Oh. Did you know that Denver invented outdoor Christmas lights?
What?
No.
It's true.
Really?
Yeah, it was like in 1915 or something.
Yeah.
There was a dad, his kid was too sick to go out and enjoy Christmas.
Okay.
And so he was stuck up in his room, and so his dad went and took a string of lights, took them outside and dipped them in red and green paint, because that's the two colors of paint that he had. Mm-hmm. Well, just that's what he had in the garage or whatever, and he threw it around the tree outside the little kid's window. And that's how outdoor Christmas lights started.
Really?
Right here in Denver.
Somebody should make a movie out of
that. Wow. Denver, known for
the next Disney
pizza
movie.
And Christmas lights.
Wow.
There you go. There's your Denver fun fact for the day.
That's crazy. Wait, were the colors of Christmas red and green before that?
Probably. I don't know. But those are pretty normal colors, I would think, to have back then.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Turn of the century.
Interesting. All right, we got a couple more minutes left. I just want to hit on this topic real quick. The Buffs women are playing Caitlin Clark in the NCAA tournament this weekend. Second straight year that they're playing Iowa and Caitlin Clark in the Sweet 16, the Sweet 16 to go to the Elite Eight. Caitlin Clark is like a phenomenon right now.
Yep.
I mean, Dwayne, you're not like a huge basketball guy by any means, but
true.
Caitlin Clark has definitely infiltrated your
I've watched basketball just because Caitlin Clark
was
playing, because I need to see the phenomenon.
What do you think of it? What do you think of her?
I mean, she's awesome, you know? I mean, it's like anybody who's really good at what they do in sports. Everyone's either going to love her or hate her, you know? And, like, that's what's great about being a sports fan, is that you can be the biggest hypocrite in the world, and it's okay. Because if she was on your team...
Yeah.
And she's doing John Cena or whatever.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, get it, Caitlin. And if she's doing it for the other team, then she's the worst person on the planet, you know? She's a spectacle. She's one of the reasons that we watch the game. Not the only reason, but, you know, you look at the numbers for it was like 4 million CBS. It's 4 million people and watched. Them versus Nebraska in the Big Ten championship.
Yeah.
Like for a women's college basketball game.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know?
It's crazy.
Guess who's redoing their negotiations right now with WNBA? Mm-hmm. CBS.
Yeah.
So you have to think that Caitlin Clark is going to pump the numbers up for her where she's going to be working next year. So.
Well, she's going to be going to Indiana. I think they have the first pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, Hank? What do you think about Caitlin Clark?
The whistle is awful. I think it's unwatchable. It's literally unwatchable. You go watch that West Virginia game. I mean, she should have lost it for him at the end. She dribbles right into a girl, loses the ball, and that should have been like the tying bucket that they score. Instead, it's like, oh, no, foul on the other girl. It's terrible. Like, I tweeted this, but it's honestly worse than like what happens with the Lakers. Like, it is pretty crazy. I think in this last game, it was 26 free throws to 5. Yeah, it's a physical game back and forth.
That's about on par.
It's awful. And it sucks. I know that in Boulder, they know about this, and it's there's just these lines where I don't want to accuse the NCAA of doing whatever they it's whatever. I don't want to say they rig games or anything like that. I do think though that
stars
with
get
all
calls.
These guys, there's like we have to be willing to let them fail. You know, like that. Those are important moments. Like I think LeBron's downfall, just because he's LeBron, doesn't mean that he gets to always have success. I think that ESPN should be able to enjoy him not doing well. Like that should do numbers when he is failing and losing and can't like that. We can't just be propping players up because they're good, giving them different whistles, because it's important for stars to not do well at various times. Like those are the real storylines, not just, hey, there's LeBron. He's still doing the same thing at four. We've been doing the same thing for 5 years and seeing this in college basketball as well. You know, this should be, it should be on Caitlin Clark to prove herself. And it isn't like
Well, I mean, she got to the national championship game last year and lost, and there wasn't like a ton of controversy then.
No, but I think that in this last game, I think they should have lost that game. I think you watch the game, and West Virginia was the better team the entire time. And she makes some great shots and does things. I don't want to say she's a bad player, but that's the way this works. And it, and on the men's side, I think it does work because the brand is just more established. If you don't play well enough, you're out. And that's the drama of it. And I do think that going back and watching, she's been propped up, and I think that on Saturday we're going to leave frustrated because Colorado will be the better team, and I think Iowa's going to get whatever happens go its way. And, you know, if you're on the team, you can't worry about that. You just have to know that you can't go into this game saying, like, we need to find a way to play well enough to beat them by one. You got to beat them by 15 so that the refs can't screw you over.
So you don't think she's as good as she is? You think
she's
overrated?
She's great. She's great, and she doesn't need that help. I think that they could make the run, but you have to make them make the run. You know, you can't just hand things to them, and I think that's what I saw. And I just, looking at last year, I mean, the free throws, 24 to 12 in this game. Like, this is going to be an uphill battle for a Colorado team that I think is every bit as good as Iowa.
I think you're kind of crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
I mean, yeah, she gets some calls, but, like, every good player does.
Yeah, but usually that doesn't happen in college basketball. Especially not to this extent.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just one game, though.
But it's every time.
We didn't talk about this at all last year.
We do. I think it was a conversation when the game was over. Not going into it, but I hadn't really watched.
I don't know.
I'm curious to see how it plays out, but I'm usually not pessimistic about this. Usually this is RK, who's like, the refs are going to ruin it, but again, like after watching that game, I just can't think anything else.
Someone that's broken that many records could have been helped out with every point and every record by every ref.
No, she's great.
Like,
but again, you go back and watch that game; it's awful to watch.
There are bad games. Jokic has bad games, not very many.
Well, she was great in that game. It's just that the refs who boosted them. Like, no, it's the way
only,
it's officiated.
She only shot 8 of 22.
Yeah,
yeah.
She kind of had a mediocre
but still
game.
Scored 30 plus.
Yeah, 32.
Yeah. No, she's a great player, and this will be a great game, but when push comes to shove, like it's you're playing Iowa and the refs. Like that storyline's there, and it's annoying. But
the storyline is there, absolutely. I mean, you're not the only one saying it. Like that's the talking point right now.
Yeah. It just sucks that's what the Buffs run into because nobody else is going to get treated like that. Like LSU gets the flip side of it, honestly.
Do you feel like that's kind of you're giving yourself a bit of an inoculation?
Yeah, you're giving yourself
like,
an out.
I know we're going to lose, so when we lose, I'm going to blame it on the refs. Like, no. What if the refs don't get involved and Caitlin Clark just dominates it? Then what's the answer then?
Then they lost.
And, well, and you're we'll okay see what with happens. That.
But I just know that going into this game, it's just really frustrating having watched, again, like watch, we know that the winner of West Virginia, I was going to be a Buffs game. So like you plan your day around going, sitting down, watching the game, and you watch it and you're just like, oh, wow, this is what happened here. So yeah, I'm just a little skeptical of how this is going to go. But I do think for Colorado, getting a chance at revenge here is awesome. I think that the way they defend is awesome. I think that the physicality of how they defend is going to result in more whistles than it probably should. And I hope I'm wrong about that, because I do think this Buffs team is capable of beating anybody.
Yeah. I love Caitlin Clark. I'm not with you on, maybe she got some good calls last game, but I love Caitlin Clark. So last year, they beat the Buffs in the Sweet 16, 87-77.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she had 31. Yeah, she had a good game.
Buffs had the lead at halftime. It was tight late, but I can't remember what happened. So there was like a big turning point at the end.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in this one though on Saturday, because Iowa only won by 10 in the second round game, and like we were saying, she did not have a great game. So we'll see. I'm excited though.
Yeah,
it's gonna be hype. It's gonna be crazy.
Be at the bar for it.
Yeah. All right, I think that's it. Thanks for hanging out, guys. That was fun.
That was a weird show.
That was a weird show.
Hot quarterbacks, pizza, and Caitlin Clark.
All right, Alyssa, thanks for producing. Thanks for hanging out. If you could, leave us a quick like before we get out of here. We'll be back next week. Talk to you guys then. We all silly like the mayor.